Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the gathering, and welcome to the factory. Man, we've had great music. I have to say, they've topped it tonight. Wow. So welcome to the gathering. If you are here and you are a regular, then you know what we're about. If you're here and someone loved you enough to invite you to come and participate in something significant, then welcome to this place. We are here tonight not because we have to be. We are here tonight because we are compelled to be. We can really do no other on this night when we celebrate God's big decision. It was Emerson who said, once you make a decision, the entire universe conspires to make it happen. Think of the birth of our Savior. At a point in time, somewhere in God's economy, He made a decision into His world, into the world He created. He created perfect, with balance and beauty, with glory and honor, into that world that had been ravaged by hate and anger and death, descending into darkness and chaos. God made a decision. He made a decision to do something about our plight. I think Christmas is so enduring for so many people because of its simplicity. I mean, think about it. Christmas is about a baby, right? It's a baby. Everybody gets a baby. It's not a man. It's not a dog. It's not a pony. It's a baby. God was born as a baby. That's a fantastic set of beliefs, isn't it? But if you buy into it, where this takes you makes all the sense in the world. God made a decision to enter this world, to be one of us, to experience what we experience, to go through what we go through. In the Old Testament, it's called the kinsman redeemer, the one who could redeem those in debt because they were related. And for God to redeem us, He had to relate to us. He came as our Savior. The Old Testament in Isaiah says this, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called pontificating religious dude." No. "Self-righteous better than all y'all, fella." No. "Better than Baptist Nazarene nut." No. "And he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father." And all of those names are wonderful, but this is the name that makes Christmas so compelling. Can you guess what it is? Prince of Peace. And that's what we needed. And that's what we yet need. Amen. We need it more than we need a new economy and a health bill. Because if we had peace, we had to worry about our economy and our health would improve. What we need is peace. Peace in the world. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called religious fanatics." No. What did he say? "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons and the daughters of God." Every time I come to speak on a Christmas Eve, I love it. This is my favorite. Well, I don't hide it. My favorite service of the year. I love it. It's just something about it. It's been an important part of our life for so many years. But every time you come to speak, you try to think of what can you say? It's a baby. I mean, it's a manger. I mean, it's a, you know, It's not that complicated. You know, as a speaker, you're trying to be razzle-dazzle and interesting. So I've asked God, what should I say? I went back to all the talks I've given in the Christmas Eves throughout the years. And I got a clear word. Real clear. Real, real, real crystal clear. And here it is. On this Christmas night, as we gather, most of us in this room would confess ourselves to be Christians, followers of Jesus. Some of you are not, and you are in a good, safe place. But God told me to tell the brothers among us and the sisters in our midst that you need to start tithing. No, that's not what he said. This is what God told me to tell you. Into a world of darkness, into a world like ours, where there is no peace tonight, go make the peace. Go make the peace. If those of us, I don't know, you tell me what you think. If those of us who profess to love God and love Jesus and all this other stuff acted like what we say we believe, don't you think the world would be a better place? An awful lot of us need to lay down our righteous indignation, take off our politician's cap, stop trying to be the moral police, put down the whistle, and pick up the mantle of peacemaker. Peacemakers will sow in peace, and they will raise a harvest of righteousness, James said. Consider the blameless and observe the upright. There is a future for the man of peace, Psalm 37. There is deceit in the heart of those who plot evil, but joy for those who promote peace, Proverbs 12:20. A heart at peace gives life to the body. It makes you healthy. So I want to give us a peace plan. P-E-A-C-E. Here it is. You don't have to write it down. You will remember it. Right? P stands for practice being good news. Say it with me. Practice being good news. How many of you need some good news? I know some families who need good news. We don't need any more religion. No, I don't need to be reminded how I failed. I need some good news. And I want to be around good news people. This is a time and year when we gather with our families reluctantly, under the threat of death, maim, or harm, or dismemberment. And we practice being in the same house together alone. Right? Thank God for TV. So we can kind of be together. And I want to ask you this year in your family gatherings, tonight in the morning and the ones that you have planned, be the good news person in the room. Put on a smile. Act like you got some sense. Can I hear an amen? Practice the being good news. You are a member of a weird family, and they are weird in ways we'd all be embarrassed if you told us. But you being religious guy and moral man is not going to change any of them. But what you can be is good news. Amen? A happy person with a smile, a little joy in your heart, laughter. You say, yeah, but you don't know how my family's wounded me. Yeah, we do. We do. We do. We've all been wounded by the people we love. Can I hear an amen? More so than the people we can't stand. Because the people we love, we let in close enough to wound. The people we can't stand, we guard with a gun or gossip, whichever G you like best. God told me to tell you, let's be good news. Amen. Let's Let's practice being good news. Put on a smile, looking at people, leaning forward, coming into a room. Listen, wouldn't it be great if we gained a reputation that when we came in the room, everyone brightened up? Rather than we came in the room and everyone found an excuse to go home, right? So the P in P stands for practice being good news. The E in this peace plan is, here it is, extinguish prejudice wherever you find it. We need to be aggressive. We need to be assertive. We need to get out there and stop saying the things that we believe if we're not going to practice them. Amen? Let's extinguish prejudice wherever we find it, whatever kind of prejudice it is, political prejudice, racial prejudice, any kind of prejudice we find anywhere. Let's be the ones who go in and practice good news and extinguish the prejudice. Are there people you don't talk to? Shame on you. Are there people you won't have anything to do with at work? Shame on you. Stop that. No more prejudice. No more anger, no more bigotry, no more white, black, green, red, purple, or polka dotted. Amen? No more haves and have-nots. Amen. No more Republicans. Leave the building. No more Democrats and independents. No more Obama haters and Bush lovers. Let's all be men and women of God who love people, period. Amen? Then people will start listening to us. So here's the P, practice being, you can do it. You know you can. Somebody gives you money, do you smile and say, I like you? Well, just imagine those people are giving you some money. Extinguish prejudice wherever we go. Here's the A in this peace plan. Advance the good. Advance the good. Oftentimes I gather with other Christian men, and I know we don't mean to, but we get talking up, we get wound up. We talk about abortion, and we talk about the health plan, and we talk about the economy, and we talk about the Democrats and the Republicans and those that we can't stand. And all of a sudden, I get this real knot in my stomach because I feel like God has left us, like the old saying, with a knife at a gunfight. It's kind of like God, you know, you're supposed to be so great, and Jesus is our Savior, and He defied death. He's resurrected. He's supposed to be changing the world. You could have left us a little more ammunition to fight all these mean, evil, wicked, bad, nasty people we all keep electing. It went over like a lead balloon, didn't it? I don't care. But you know what Jesus said? Let people see your good works. And when they see your good works, you know what they said? They'll praise God. What does the Bible teach us? Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with a bigger gun. Praise Jesus. Just get a bigger gun. Really? What if your enemy gets a bigger gun? Then I get a bigger gun. Then you understand where we are, don't you? Right? How do you overcome evil with good? Will you join me in this new decade? Decade, think about it. It's here, man. Brand new decade. We will advance the good. How do you advance the good? I'll tell you in just a second. Here's the peace plan. It starts with P. Preach them all into hell. Yes. No. No, that's what you're thinking. We're going to practice being, and we can all do that, and we do it tonight. It's not that difficult. It's the peace that we're seeking. I'm not trying to be right and righteous and moral and indignant and better than everyone else. We want to be good news. We want to be the people run to because we're good news, because we're men and women of hope. We believe in a Redeemer, do we not? We believe in a God that made a decision not to leave us as we were, but to come and find us and to redeem us. Has a plan for us and has a plan for this planet. I'm going to practice being good news. I'm going to extinguish what? prejudice wherever I find it. I'm going to advance the good. PEAC. Here's a little strategy for you. Here it is. Compassion always wins. For God so what? Compassioned the world. Loved the world. The most powerful force on the earth is love. Love in human form. Love in the flesh. Love with skin on. Compassion always wins. But what do? Even as Christians, when we're hurt, what do we want to do? We want to fight back. We want to gossip. We want to cut the other person down. And God says compassion is the only strategy that ultimately wins. Compassion wins. Let's be men and women of compassion. Amen? Compassion wins. I don't care how smart you are if you have no compassion. I don't care how strong you are if you have no compassion. I don't care how connected you are if you have no compassion. So here's our peace plan. We're not going to just come here tonight and go home and say that we went to the factory and we had a little nice thing. We had a little tea and the kids sang and that's sweet and it's a baby, you know, and you're just going to waddle off to hell just like we were before we came. Amen. No. We're going to get it. We're going to finally get it. This is what it's about. It's about peace. About God making peace. About God sending us a Savior to make peace with us. He is our peace, the scriptures teach us. Jesus is my peace. He's my inner peace. He's my family peace. He's my financial peace. He's all that I will ever need. And out of that peace, as I follow him, I practice being good news. I extinguish prejudice wherever it is. I will not tolerate it in myself. I will not tell prejudicial, lewd jokes. Amen? And don't laugh at them either. You say, well, but they're funny. No, they're not. Stop it. God tells me things. I know what some of you have been doing. I'm going to practice being good news. I'm going to extinguish prejudice wherever it is. I'm going to advance the good. I understand compassion always wins. Your husband, ladies, needs compassion. Don't nag him. And then give him a Christmas gift. Compassion. Amen. He needs compassion. Men need compassion much more than women do. Can I hear an amen? Because they're far more screwed up. We all know that to be true. Practice being. Eradicate prejudice wherever I find it. I will advance the good. Right? Compassion wins. And here's the last one. I beg you. Engage suffering. If we're going to call ourselves Christians and we're going to honor Christ and his birth, we have to do what he did. What did he do? He engaged suffering wherever it is. Have you ever noticed in your house that things get out of place? Ever had that happen to you? The mail comes in. It's not for you. It's for your son or your daughter. You dutifully sort it and put their pieces of mail on the counter. And 6 weeks later, they're still on the counter. And you want to slap somebody. How complicated can it be? Pick up the mail. Or someone in your house leaves their clothes on the floor for months. Pair of socks been there since the Civil War. You're not going to pick them up now on principle. I've been picking them up. I'm not picking them up anymore. I told you that your socks go, put your socks up. Christmas comes and go. There are the socks. I got little fuzz growing on the sides of them. There are the socks. Hell will freeze over before I pick up the socks, you say. You know what we need? We need some people who pick up the dang socks. Amen. We need some people who stop complaining about how do the socks get there? Who they belong to? Whose blood is on them? It's not my fault. Have you ever heard that one? We need some people who stop being judgmental and prejudicial and just simply say, I don't care how you got where you are. I don't care how you got in this situation. I don't care how you lost your job or you lost your family or you lost your marriage. I'm going to take you where you are and I'm going to pick up the socks. Amen. Just pick it up. Do something. Engage the suffering. Isn't that what Jesus did when he went by people? He says, get up and walk. Be healed. See again. Be fed. So we're going to be like Christ. God forbid that we would be, but it's just saying theoretically. We're going to have to learn how to do what he did, and that is engage the suffering. And here's what we'll find. Then when we practice being good news people, when we eradicate prejudice wherever we find it, when we advance the good and understand that compassion is always welcome and always wins the day, and when we engage suffering like Jesus did, we'll be like him, we'll smell like him, we'll look like him, and we'll start getting the results that he promised. Let's pray. Father, I ask you with all of my heart to make this a different kind of night. A different kind of service. One in which we truly begin to live out our potential as the light of the world. Jesus, be our teacher. Let this be the night that the lesson is learned and the student stands up and engages a hurting world. Amen. You've received when you came here tonight a little light. We're going to end our service as we do each Christmas Eve with a candle lighting service. I'm going to ask you to stand. And tonight we have battery powered because we don't want to call the Franklin Fire Department. And we're going to sing Silent Night as we hold up these lights. This represents the fact that we are indeed. And these things are hard to do, isn't it? The light of the world. You just raise it up in the air. Let's sing it together.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright.
Father, as we raise these lights, we promise to be the light of the world on a hill. We promise to be good news. We promise to be open to whatever you want to do in our lives. Bring healing into our families. Bring healing into our lives. And replace our mourning with joy and our sadness with laughter. And all of God's people said, amen. Merry Christmas. God bless you. Amen.